From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. British Prime Minister Theresa May has given Russia until the end of Tuesday to explain the use of a nerve agent against a former Russian double agent, Sergei Skripal, in southern England March 4th. Ms. May addressed Parliament Monday.
Our knowledge that Russia has previously produced this agent and would still be capable of doing so, Russia's record of conducting state-sponsored assassinations, and our assessment that Russia views some defectors as legitimate targets for assassinations, the government has concluded that it is highly likely that Russia was responsible for the act against Sergei and Yulia Skripal.
British officials identified the nerve agent as part of the Novichok group developed by the Soviet military in the 1970s and 80s. The Prime Minister said she's prepared to conclude the action amounts to an unlawful use of force by the Russian state against the United Kingdom. The White House expressed outrage. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg called it horrendous and completely unacceptable. Moscow rejected the accusation. Russian parliamentarian and former KGB bodyguard Andrei Lugovoy said the story is part of a plan to discredit Russia. Skripal and his daughter remain hospitalized in critical condition. Exiled opposition leader Moise Katumbi Monday said he will return to the Democratic Republic of Congo by June to run for president in elections now scheduled to take place in December.
I'm going to Congo. I'm not going to be arrested because I didn't do anything wrong. Moise Katumbi have to come back as a free man.
The election was supposed to take place at the end of incumbent Joseph Kabila's two-term mandate in late 2016, but has been delayed. Katumbi sought medical attention in South Africa after being accused by Congolese authorities of hiring mercenaries. This is VOA News. As fighting in Syria rages, the U.S. U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley Monday told the Security Council the U.S. is prepared to act if the Council fails to. She offered a draft resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire over eastern Ghouta and Damascus and accused Russia of being complicit in the carnage taking place in the rebel-held enclave.
Today we know that the Russians did not keep their commitment. Today we see their actions don't match those commitments as bombs continue dropping on the children of eastern Ghouta. Today we must ask whether Russia can no longer influence the Assad regime to stop the horrific destruction of hospitals, medical clinics, and ambulances, to stop dropping chemical weapons on villages.
The death toll from the government's three-week assault on eastern Ghouta approaching 1,200. The White House said despite North Korea's silence, it expects a proposed meeting between President Donald Trump and leader Kim Jong-un to go on. In New York, White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster briefed the Security Council on Pyongyang's proposal, thanking them for backing the international pressure campaign.
President Trump also asked me to thank the U.N. Security Council for their unity and resolve that has us now to a point where we may be able to pursue a diplomatic solution to the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
McMaster said he's optimistic about reaching that resolution. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, in an unannounced trip to Afghanistan Tuesday, said the U.S. is picking up signs that elements of the Taliban are prepared to talk peace.
We've had some groups of Taliban, small groups who have either started to come over or expressed an interest in talking. In other words, it may not be that the whole Taliban comes over in one fell swoop. I think that would be a bridge too far right now to expect, but there are elements of the Taliban clearly interested in talking to the Afghan government.
President Ashraf Ghani has offered talks without preconditions. A UN investigator to the Human Rights Council in Geneva said the government of Myanmar appears to be pursuing a policy of starvation in Rakhine State to force the remaining Rohingya Muslims out.
There appears to be a policy of forced starvation in place designed to make life in northern Rakhine unsustainable for Rohingya who remain.
Special Rapporteur Yong Hae Lee said atrocities against the Rohingya that forced hundreds of thousands to flee to Bangladesh bear the hallmarks of genocide. Colombia and Marxist ELN rebels are to resume peace talks in Ecuador after a six-week hiatus that saw the guerrilla group mount fresh attacks. President Juan Manuel Santos said he's trying to save lives and achieve peace. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has emphasized close cross-border economic ties with the U.S. in a phone call to President Donald Trump after the U.S. imposed new tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.